I have more. Circumcised of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee, as for zeal, persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness, faultless. But whatever was to myself profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Let us pray. Our God and Heavenly Father, we come before You this morning as unworthy people. But we come rejoicing, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we who have known His grace. And so we come boldly before Your throne of grace, asking You that You would renew our vision and set our eyes upon Jesus Christ alone in this world, and that our passion would be to know Him, and that our passion would be to serve Him. And confessing our sins, that were the sins that have kept us from serving Him more diligently. Father, we come to You, longing to know You more and more. And we come to You as Your people, asking that by Your grace, Your word would be applied to our hearts so that we might grow in grace, so that even some might come to know Jesus Christ as their sovereign Lord and Savior. Father, we trust in Your power. We trust in Your word. We trust in the sufficiency of Your grace to minister to us this morning. Now, Father, we pray that You would hear our prayers. We pray that Your name would be glorified in this time of worship. And we thank You for being so gracious and giving us Your revelation, the Word of God, the Word of the Scriptures. And now apply them to our lives. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen. The title of this morning's message is The Proper Vision. Having a clear vision and a goal is important if you're going to attain that goal. That's a pretty common philosophy and rule of thumb in this day and age. Looking into the past at some visions and goals that others have had, I came across this particular one. How would you like to have this goal for your university, for your college? Let every student be plainly instructed and earnestly pressed to consider well the main end of his life and studies is to know God and Jesus Christ, which is eternal life, and therefore to lay Christ in the bottom is the only foundation of sound knowledge and learning. That is the vision, statement, and goal that the founders of Harvard College had for Harvard University. We must make knowing Christ the goal of our life. In fact, we can say of every Christian, God has chosen certainly this goal for our lives, that we were to know Christ and be conformed to His image. The Apostle Paul describes his vision or his goal, or his understanding of Christ this way, as the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ, my Lord. We want to grasp a little bit of that meaning this morning. Jesus Christ is the one whom we are to seek and to know. We want no false gods. We want no false visions. We want God's revelation. We want what the Bible declares. We want this statement, now that this is eternal life, that we may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That should be our desire, first and foremost. The Scriptures declare Christ is the one whom we should seek to know. Also, our relationship to Christ is made very clear. With Paul, we need to confess that we want to know the surpassing greatness of Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. The relationship is a relationship of willing obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, our Savior, we need Him. He has become our gracious Lord and replaced that cruel master of sin in our own lives. Our desire to know Christ is braced by the biblical admonition and instruction in Matthew 16:26, where it says, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" If I am called upon, if you are called upon to consider anything that is a hindrance to our knowing Christ as a loss, if we have a worldly dream or a dreamy vision of great, some aspiration, yet we know if we seek that one goal that we have in our heart, it means sacrificing our relationship to Christ or setting aside our consideration of Christ's role as our Lord and Master in this life, then we need to take that vision and count it as a loss to us. Set it aside. It's a hindrance to knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul discounted his success as a Jewish leader. We look at his successes. We look at his credentials. I'm amazed at what he had accomplished. At the things that he says, even with humility, that he said he had acclaimed, that he had attained. He says that he had claimed Pharisaical righteousness. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He had a heritage that was impeccable. And yet, the Apostle Paul said, he set these things aside so that he could know the true God of his forefathers, so that he could know the Lord Jesus Christ. We, too, must examine our own personal histories. If we are relying on our Christian lineage, or association with Christians, our formal attendance in God's house, as an assurance of our acceptance before the Lord Jesus Christ, then we need to count that as a loss, as a hindrance, because we need to seek Him alone and know Him. More likely, the stumbling block for some of us in this day and age is that we place our hope in our worldly successes. We see that we have accomplished certain things and we say, that must mean that God is approving my life and my lifestyle. When actually, He may not be. I remember meeting a man, a minister of the gospel, whose goal in life, or goal for a certain point of his life, was that by the age of 30, he wanted to be called doctor. Now the irony of this is that he began to associate himself with a certain institution of learning and he began to make friends in that institution of learning, send students to become members of his church to become students in that institution, to patronize them so that he could have a doctorate. Not an earned doctorate, but an honorary doctorate. He had set this as his goal and his vision for life up to the age of 40. To have a vision of being recognized by others, being a great business leader, of even establishing many, many Christian institutions. If that is your vision, if that's the sole vision of your life, then you need to count those types of things as a hindrance to you, to knowing Christ. Humanly speaking, man can block our vision. What if the Apostle Paul had said, my vision in life is to go on into Turkey, go on into Asia Minor and on into Asia? He would have been a very frustrated missionary. because it was in God's plan that he not go that way. But if he had exalted that plan and not been listening to the leading of the Lord, then he would have been following the wrong person or the wrong goal in life. We must have our goals and have them in placed in dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why give up such things? We are to renounce dependence upon them for the sake of Jesus Christ, for the sake of knowing Him, for the honor of His name. Knowing Christ and being conformed to His image is of surpassing greatness when compared to any other vision or plan or goal that we might have in our lives or others might have for us. We must be like the merchant mentioned in Matthew chapter 13, where it says, when he found a pearl of great value, he went away and he sold everything that he had so he could buy that one pearl. Knowing Christ. Whatever we would keep us from Christ must be considered a loss, a hindrance. As the Apostle Paul was on board ship, there were 276 men on that ship as they sailed out into the Mediterranean against the advice of the Apostle Paul. And as they were overtaken by a northeaster, they began to throw over the cargo. Then they began to throw over the tackle of the ship. And finally, as Paul warned the captain of the ship, they took the last meal that they had and they threw all of their food overboard. And the ship ran aground in Malta. All for the sake of saving their own lives. Everything was exhausted and discarded because their life was more important than the cargo. Knowing Christ is our goal. The foundation of knowing Christ is stated in verse 9. We want to gain Christ by losing self-righteous religion, things that we don't need anyway. Paul's aspiration is to be found in Him, to know that he belongs to Christ and that Christ belongs to him. Paul does not glory in any ecstatic experience or any work successes. His rejoicing is in Jesus Christ, the surpassing knowledge of knowing Jesus Christ. Paul compares two kinds of righteousness in this passage of Scripture. The false righteousness, which is self-righteousness, and which we cannot have. We cannot have true righteousness unless we eject that which is false. Our righteousness, we know, as we honestly face the Lord Jesus Christ, is as filthy rags. It is nothing. So unless we come naked and emptied of our own righteousness, we cannot be received by the Lord Jesus. He will not accept us. Paul renounced confidence in the flesh, confidence in outward achievements, so he could know our Lord Jesus. And he continued to renounce that throughout his life. He pressed on, taking and setting aside those things that would hinder him from knowing the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know what that is in your life, but it can be very different. But I am confident of this. In light of this scripture, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you, if there's something that is hindering you, that you're exalting over and above the serving and loving the Lord Jesus Christ and knowing Him, He wants you to set it aside. Come to Him. Know Him. The righteousness that is acceptable before God does not come from the law. Paul fulfilled the Pharisaical standards of the law and from that fleshly point of view. The law points out our sin. The law is powerless to save, but the law is spiritual because God uses that as an instrument to bring us to Jesus Christ and let us see this is God's absolute and perfect and holy standard and we don't match up. And now we need to know that we throw ourselves upon Jesus Christ, to long to know Him and have Him as our own. The righteousness Christ offers to us is imputed. Now, what does imputed mean? It means it's credited to us. Freely credited to us by faith in Jesus Christ. Righteousness does not belong to the individual. We cannot produce it. We cannot conjure it up from within. It's imputed. It's a gift. It's given by God alone. So praise be to God. Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends in Christ, if you're a Christian, you know what this means. If you're not a Christian, you know that you're carrying a heavy burden. We can trust in Christ. Trust in His righteous, sinless life and perfect death to cover our sins and credit us undeservingly with right living. There should be no more striving to prove to God or to anyone else that we are acceptable. We are not acceptable in and of ourselves. We cannot come to Christ on our own merits. That is a deceiving word to think that you can come to God by your own merits. Christ comes to free us from this impossible struggle of believing that if I were just a little better, I could be in God's house and God would accept me. No. God says, forget that. Come to Him. Come to Christ. How can we dare think that we can stand before God on the judgment day claiming that our good efforts make us acceptable members of the kingdom of heaven? We cannot stand in God's presence clothed in our righteousness. Rather, we should rejoice with the hymn writer who says, Jesus, Thy blood and righteousness my beauty are, my glorious dress. Amidst flaming worlds, in these arrayed, with joy I lift up my head. Only in the righteousness of Jesus Christ do we stand before the living God. Only in Christ's righteousness would I dare preach to you today. Because without Him, we are lost. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. If I give my body to be burned, and yet I do not love the Lord Jesus Christ and my brothers, it profits me nothing. If that righteousness is based upon what Christ has done for me on the cross, it profits me nothing. If you receive world acclaim or business acclaim or acclaim among your friends and yet you have no righteousness in Christ, it profits you nothing. It's futile and it's vain. The righteousness that saves is received by faith in Christ. By trusting Christ alone for our salvation, Christ's righteousness is imputed, credited to us. So I hope and I pray that all of us here today know the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and what that is. The trust in Him and His righteousness and not our own. Now Paul gives some practical facets of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ is not just simply an intellectual exercise of saying, I know that Jesus Christ existed in history. He accomplished these great things. He is the Son. I know intellectually He's the Son of God. That is not all there is. There's more than that. And there's no way to exhaust this passage, but look briefly at the closing part of this. Paul describes some other aspects of his goal. He says, I want, not just with emotional desire, but he really wanted to know what? The power of His resurrection. The power of Christ's resurrection. Christian, at your conversion, the time of your conversion, not talking about emotion, but at your conversion, you experienced anew the power of Christ's resurrection. It's the power of Christ's resurrection over sin and death that allows you to be free. from sin and death. Paul could recall that he had persecuted the church. And yet, he who had persecuted the church now became the hunted one. As man who is being hunted, he trusted in Christ. And there was a newness of life in him. He was a new creation in Jesus Christ. He was the same man physically. His heritage was the same. But now he was a new individual. Because he had a new relationship with Jesus Christ based on Christ's righteousness. To know the power of his resurrection means that the sanctifying power of the risen Lord Jesus Christ is at work in our lives even today. That the Holy Spirit is taking the Word of God and convicting you and I of our sins, even when we're alone in our rooms and when we're driving down the highway, we were in our workplace, convicting us that we need to confess that particular area of sin to Him and give it over to Him again. We need to know the power of Christ's resurrection, that power operating in our lives day by day. Finally, Paul says, another goal is knowing Christ is to know the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings. The sharing in the sufferings is suffering for the sake of the gospel, suffering for the sake of Christ. It is not a vicarious suffering because no individual can suffer for the sins of another. Only Christ is sufficient to suffer in that regard. We suffer for the gospel's sake, by accepting the opportunities that we have of bearing witness to Jesus Christ where we are. Now the question that we have to deal with here, do we have a desire like Paul to say, I want to know the fellowship of his sufferings? I remember as a young person when I prayed this, I said, Lord, I want this, but don't make it too hard. This is serious because it can be very glorious, but it is serious to think and to pray and desire what Paul was desiring. We are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ if we are Christians, and we will experience some suffering in varying degrees. I read not too long ago about a young lady who had graduated from her university, top student. She applied for graduate studies for a PhD in the field of psychology, and she was rejected by the board members or the men that interviewed her. The reason she was rejected was because they knew she was a vibrant Christian, unashamedly witnessing for Jesus Christ. And these men bluntly told her, said, your philosophy and our philosophy do not mix. You will not be a proponent of psychology as we see it. So we cannot approve you as a candidate. Now that's suffering for the sake of Jesus Christ. You may face misunderstandings because you are a Christian. You may come up with other difficulties because you are a Christian. But that is what Paul was saying. He was saying, Lord, let me understand what it is to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and because I'm identified with Christ, to know Christ this way as His servant. I stand amazed, and I must confess, I have not fully applied this particular text in my life. I struggle with it. And that's the thing that you can imagine how Peter struggled with this, but as the Holy Spirit led him to write in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 23, he's speaking of Christ, he says, When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate, the Lord Jesus. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges righteously. Applying that daily to a misunderstanding, when you know you're right and what you're saying is true as a Christian, and yet to have no intent of threats or retaliation, whelm up in your heart and mind, My friends, that's hard to apply. But trust yourself to Him who judges righteously. And so our sinless Lord Jesus Christ knew that He was falsely accused, but yet He did not threaten. He accepted quietly the suffering that was planned for Him. The suffering we may be faced with may be in a sense something of a burden. The pain of knowing that there are loved ones, friends, relatives, who just need to know the Lord Jesus, and they don't. And you sit there and you struggle. How? And you know that you cannot convert them. You know that you're powerless, but you know God is powerful. And so, like Jesus, you may have somewhat of a burden, as He did for the people of the city of Jerusalem. He said, how often I would have gathered you to myself as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Some would not come. So there are those kinds of personal struggles and pains that we have because we know the gospel is true. Paul said he wanted to become like Christ in his death. It is a fact that we are identified with Christ. We are dead with Christ. Christ has died, and we died with Him. But that's unrepeatable. We're given credit for what He did for us. But there is a daily sense in which we mortify the deeds of the flesh. What that means is we say, I know that's wrong. I'm not going to do it. Because I have the Holy Spirit, I have Jesus living within me, I have His Word within my heart, therefore I can withstand this temptation. I will mortify the deeds of the flesh and commit myself to the Lord. And so that's what Paul is talking about here. Giving up that selfishness and that pride and those sins that constantly beset us. And sometimes we have to deal with that over and over again in our lives and constantly recall back the Word of God in that particular area that we're dealing with. So being conformed to Christ's death does not mean that we foolishly inflict pain on ourselves. Whether it's in the Muslim world or even the Chinese world or wherever you are, you may think that, well, if I do this, if I slash my back or if I verbally lash myself or if I can just conjure up more tears, oh, God's going to accept me. No. We cannot suffer pain to earn credits with God. We do turn away from sin. We call it what it is. And we repent by God's grace as He gives us repentance. And we trust in Him. And so rather we give our lives to serving Jesus Christ and to demonstrating that life of service to the Christian community and to loving our brothers and sisters in Christ, even when that is difficult. Our love for Christ and for others may mean that we do have to lay down our life for a friend at some point, but that would be not the usual thing. But our primary goal is to die to sin more and more and live unto righteousness, live to the Lord Jesus Christ. Then Paul adds, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection of the dead. Now, Paul certainly believes in the resurrection. He's not saying that he's not, but I think he's emphasizing it's not by his power, but it's by the grace and power of the Lord Jesus Christ that he will be raised bodily and be with Christ in heaven. So we can look forward to the time when our sanctification is complete and our body is resurrected body is given us with Christ in heaven. Therefore, the goal and the vision is to prepare ourselves to know Christ. We want to know Christ and to be conformed to His likeness. The Scriptures challenge you and they challenge I to be sure that we have our goal and our vision correct, that Christ is our vision. The other things in our life will line up after that. Some goals and visions and plans you have, others can block. But if you're walking with Christ, if Christ is yours and you belong to Him and you put Him first in your life, that is the proper vision. And you will see Him. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that You would be merciful to us. We thank You for Your mercy. We thank You for allowing us to read these Scriptures, to read this revelation that comes from You and not from man, not from human teachers, as is recorded in the Word of God. And Father, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply that to my life and to everyone's life here this morning. That You would deal with us where we are, knowing us as You do. And do not let us run and hide behind a false righteousness, but let us trust alone in Jesus Christ and stand joyously with an inner joy that our righteousness is in Christ and we're freed from this wicked struggle to prove ourselves before You. And Father, pray that You would give us a passion and a desire to know Jesus as Paul expressed it in these verses. And know the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ. Father, we want to know the power of Your resurrection in changing this day. We want to know, with much grace, of course, the fellowship of suffering with You as we participate in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to die to sin more and more. We want to know what it is to wait expectantly for that day when You will return and we will stand in glorious dress in our new bodies with You in the kingdom of heaven. Father, we desire that. We long for You. And now we come before You and worship You and honor You and glorify Your name, for this is Your design. This is Your gospel. This is Your plan, which You have revealed to us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.